welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We are actually live this afternoon.
Yeah, no pre-recording.
What do I know?
Well, we're
this
on.
Morning.
Yeah.
This morning on May 5th in the afternoon at noon. So, anyway, happy to be back. I hope you enjoyed the shows from April. Holy cow, we had a great lineup for you. So if you missed any of those, you should go back. We used Earth Day as kind of our springboard, and so we did a lot on the actual facts about the fake climate change and the fake CO2 crisis and all that. And so, yeah, if you don't believe one of the people we had on, listen to the other, what, four or five? And I think we still have Tom DeWeese in the can that so we can play him, and he did a very good job with that as well. It's kind of time we got serious on this thing. We keep talking, you know, they keep talking about it. We keep mitigating the rules changes, you know, all the crazy stuff having to do with that. And
well, climate change is happening right
now. Let's face it, it's fake.
It's almost 90 degrees, though.
Although kids are getting days off school to go protest it. So I guess if I was a kid, I'd be like, no, it's real.
No, the Earth is warming because I'm hot today.
So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor today is Team Power, our local John Deere dealer up in Shasta Lake City. And anything you want as far as John Deere, go see them. They can take care of you. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard. And their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them online at readingtractors.com.
And it's spring.
Yeah, so get in there.
They are jammed. Don't dilly-dally.
Yeah, don't dilly-dally. Get in, get out. Boy, they are cooking up there right now. So go ahead and see them, Team Power.
And for heaven's sakes, mow your darn grass.
Yeah, because it's growing like a foot a day.
So we can have fewer fires.
Yeah.
It's just be exciting this year to have no fires in Northern California.
Well, you're only going to get about a month of mowing now, and then it'll be brown and ready to burn.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Like,
hurry up, go mow it now.
Yeah,
mow your neighbor's field. Whatever it is, mow it.
Yeah, mow it down.
Oh, my goodness. So let's see. We've got... I don't know who we have. Do we have everybody? We do. Oh my gosh!
No,
it happened. It happened even without us. We were just sitting in here in the dark, in the dark microphone room.
That's because we have a great engineer.
I know, and Ashley. we don't get to talk to Ashley anymore. We just get to like give her smoke signals through the window. She's in another room now, but anyway, she does a really great job. And we thank her for that. She's been our stalwart helper this last month. Ashley's been actually doing the show by herself. So thanks for that, Ashley. You can find
Who do we have today?
Well, I kind of forgot at the beginning because I'm sort of out of step here. You can find everything about the show. We have a lot of sponsorship that comes in just from listeners, you know, not... I don't know. We don't have a whole bunch of business sponsors necessarily, but we like them too. So if you want to help out the show or promote it or just listen to stuff that actually is commercial free as soon as we air it by Monday, by late Sunday or early Monday, we have it up commercial free. We've got archives going back almost 10 years. You can find it all.
Where do you listen to that?
Well, I would go to wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, there you go.
And then you can click on it and you can load like 1 hour, you can load the second hour, or you can load both hours. We've got options for you. And if you have any difficulties at all, Bill and I have our emails and phone numbers right on there. Right on the page. So you could call us or email us and let us know that you like it, you don't like it. If you don't like it, just don't listen. That's actually the easiest way. Send it to a friend. And we appreciate all the folks from outside the U.S. that listen to. And we would love to have topics from you if you have ideas for us. So we've got Peter Pry teed up for later in the month. And so I'm not sure if we'll be talking about the EMP Commission or something else. And then... going blank on what's at the end of the month. Something else at the end of the month. So we got some good stuff going forward for you, too. We've actually been doing a little planning, go figure. So today, we're going to talk about the asylum system. And we're not
non-system.
We're not really talking about Congress, although that's an asylum, too. Anybody who's been watching any of that. that there's a tremendous abuse of our asylum system. And really, we have a lot of root causes of our border crisis. And so we've got two experts that are going to talk about that, since Bill and I watch, you know, mostly the same news that you guys do. So rather than tell you what you already know, we'll bring people on who actually know stuff. So we've got Bruce Moran on here. He is from Security Solutions Technologies, which is a veteran-owned company. They provide federal government consulting, IT professional services, security assessments, a lot of cybersecurity, and that's kind of Bruce's bailiwick there, because he is their national security advisor. And then our good friend that always, I'm not sure if he accuses us or, I'm not sure how that works, but he always says we pay him $1.86 to come on. So I'll just beat him to that one. And that's our guest, Dr. Lyle Verpacki. He's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. And so he has been providing selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings since 2010. Does a lot with border security, and now he lives in Texas. So I don't know if he's broken into the Texas gang yet, but I would have no doubt that he has done that already. He's a super smart guy as well.
And I'm probably not going to need him down in Texas, because old Beto is he's just going to get rid of the wall. Won't need any border security. Just, shake their hand as they come across.
Or as what does Tucker Carlson call him?
Bateau.
So
with a fake Latin name.
So we got Bruce and Lyle today. They're going to enlighten us on what's really going on down on the border. And I think we've stopped calling it a fake crisis. I think we've...
Yeah, I think they've admitted there's a problem there.
Admitted it's a problem, so we can actually call it a crisis. We've got a lot of good stuff for you posted on the page today at wethepeopleradio.us, by the way. All right, fellers. Who wants to start out?
Well, Aaron, this is Dr. Lyle, and I would like to only take 30 seconds to, now just a minute, 30 seconds to say that I'm not upset, I'm very calm, but Bruce is getting $2.35 for this show, and he got a Starbucks card.
Hey, that was classified information. I thought we could trust you guys.
Well, but he's national security, so
Starbucks, with all of their shenanigans, is dead to us. Everyone will know that is a lie. I wouldn't walk into Starbucks if I was dying.
I'm still stuck at $1.86 to just show up on the show, and then I got to come in and mop up and vacuum afterwards. I don't understand. I don't understand how come I'm considered privileged.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I'm glad to be back on with Bruce. He'll carry the weight today.
I've been carrying a few things now and then.
Well, I hope you're not. I hope you're not part of the trash pickup in Chicago, because I hear that's not.
Oh, we're the ones that prepare the brunch before we come on the air. Well, I forgot to tell you that. So here we are, you know, all fed, ready to go, and as we know, there's a Immigration and Naturalization Act, which gives President Trump the right to do various sundry things on the border. One would be to freeze, you know, people coming back and forth, or to help support the border security system. We call it, have a comprehensive program, including a wall. What's not clearly understood is that when people are talking about border security, you're talking about a whole slew of supportive services that go in place when you're building a wall or a fence, and that's not always understood when they're talking about it with the American public. Say, Trump builds a wall. Well, that's not really the case at all. That's actually a fabrication by the media. And what we're talking about is you have drones, you have supportive technologies, thermal technologies that could, you know, view people moving, coming and going, same technologies that are used by the special forces, Navy SEALs. These are the kind of technologies that are going to be put on the border and be fully implemented. That's going to be a 24/7, you know, border security program. It's not going to be where there's any breaks or hollows in the border, and then you won't have these immigration problems we'll talk about.
So we won't see big groups of people running, you know, running across. I mean, it
travesty in and of itself.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart that We're not addressing a lot of the issues that are happening to the farmers and ranchers on the other side of the border, along with the crime. I mean, we have crimes on both sides of the border. The federales are, you know, some of them are on the take, and these people are coming through with the human smuggling. And as you look at the report that's on the web, we're talking about human smuggling, but it has many tentacles to it, including the trafficking part of women and children in the underground economy in a black market. So the report didn't cover it, but I'd like to just highlight that when we're talking about the border security crisis, it is more than most people make it out to be, and it has to be locked down. The ports of entry have to be gone through. What President Trump is talking about is a common sense approach that most people would take, but when you get involved with the politics that's going on, then you have people running for office to be president, and everybody's saying a lot of things that really aren't true. And we need to address these serious problems that are now pending and need funding on the border, which President Trump is now doing. And it's been 30 years. So Chuck and I worked on Secure Fence Act with Senator Frist. So it goes back. We've been on this for many, many years. We know the technologies are there, the technologies that need to be upgraded, and how we're going to deal with it by adding more border security personnel, you know, patrol people, and really have a 24/7 lockdown. It's just a proper and fitting thing to do. I'm not saying anything that's not outrageous. It's a political piece of action that's been never really addressed, and they need to make sure it's funded. Now, we're looking at funding that's somewhere.
Hold that thought, Bruce. We've got to take a really quick break here because we're kind of starting out on the tardy side. But you're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. That makes you guys sound so cool. I mean, the song's like a million years old, but it is still a cool song. So, Lyle, from your perch over there in Texas, what are you seeing?
Bruce makes some extremely valuable points right off the bat here. The border issues are multidimensional. It's not even as simple as people coming across the border. That's a problem in and of itself, but that is just really just the tip of the iceberg. Border Patrol this year to date, so from January to, let's say, May 1st, has apprehended approximately 500,000 illegals coming in. And that's twice the number as last year. So that alone tells you we're in a problem, and that's not counting the thousands that are encamped on the south side of the border.
Right.
As you know, and Bruce and I have worked this now since last September, I think, Bruce, or October, the overflights that I've been able to have accomplished to actually take a look at the caravans and the invaders coming, and the numbers are astronomical. They are in the hundreds of thousands. The intent is to bring 1 million people over our border this year, and they're I just got done telling you, they're 500,000.
Yeah, they're going to surpass that.
They're going to surpass that. correct. And what Bruce is saying then is one level of how do we deter that, but then you've got medical issues, you've got the actual operation of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, and acquired technology. You've got to keep that up. Who, you know, where's the carpenter that's building the platform to put the monitor on? I'm being really elementary. You've got layer upon layer of mission support that needs to be implemented. Some has, and yet there's pushback by the Socialist Democrat Party because it fits their narrative. They do not want, and they've said so very clearly, do not want border security. They do not want a national sovereignty intact. They believe the nation should be open to anyone and everyone, and they have proven that. And that in itself has also created multiple problems, even away from the border, as we know with the murders, the terrorist acts, etc. And when the suspect is captured, we come to find out that they're illegally in this country, or sometimes three and four and five times illegally. So right. What Bruce is beginning to discuss is a horrendous problem just financially if we don't get this border secure.
And well, there was a story, I think it was last week, where they had videotape of a group of migrants that actually had an armed escort bringing them over and dropping them off on our side of the border. Did they ever determine who the armed people were? Were they Mexican government people? Were they smugglers? Did we ever find out?
Those are the kind of questions that we ask, but we know the answers because it's multivariate. You have lone wolf operators that are smuggling. You have cartels that are working with lone wolves. You have operators that are holding what we call safe homes around the border. And there are those who can afford to come across the border and pay a larger sum. And when you see this big push coming at the border with what you saw with the armed guard, but there's another group of people coming across that are paying more money, and they're sneaking across while that's going on. So they're acting as a facade, as many can get across that can't afford to pay, and then you have those who are paying at different levels that are coming across, and there are operators that move from the Mexican border and give people rides all the way to L.A. This is all documented. I'm not making any kind of examples up. This is all documented by the DEA, by the Department of Homeland Security, by the RAND study. And what we're looking at is multiple levels of gaming the system. And the system is well known for 30 years. People coming in from Guatemala, people coming in from the Honduras and El Salvador, they'll pay money to get Mexican false IDs. So if they get caught, they get to go back into Mexico. They don't have to go back to El Salvador. They don't have to go back to Honduras. So they're paying extra money, and then they're learning, you know, the little tidbits of information they need to do to get asylum. So the whole asylum method for getting across on the American border is changing. And that's what President Trump has just instituted, a program to effectively work with the Department of Homeland Security and the Border Patrol people. And then we might have an institution of armed forces down there to back up, so it frees up the Border Patrol to do their jobs more. And then they're also going to be building more retention facilities. So that will not help identify the families. And now we're instituting, and Lyle and I were talking about this 2 days ago, DNA testing. Because then you'll know who the real family members are and who aren't.
Instead of just people who snatched up a child and pretended to be a family?
Right.
Yes, but it goes beyond that because the child is coming across every time.
Yeah.
They won't be allowed to come across four or five times in a year period. See what I'm talking about now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce opens a good door again.
With cartel members.
I don't think he can hear you.
Hold on, Bruce. What were you saying, Lyle?
Well, Bruce opens another doorway here, which is very germane, and that is the financial aspects of the business of smuggling. I think we all understand there's a business aspect to the smuggling of drugs. I think people probably now, because it's been going on for so long, understand there's a business aspect of smuggling humans. I think Bruce will probably, we'll talk about that later, because that's a cash cow, that's an industry in and of itself, is human smuggling. The children, and this can be arguable, I'm too old, people can argue with Bruce, but I'm too tired, but it could be anywhere from 5,000 to, well, depends on who you're talking to, and, you know, we keep getting this intel and keep narrowing it down, but even the best of the days, it's still within a range. So to move a child up from Mexico, and again, Bruce makes a great point because they're coming from Honduras and who knows, Africa, but they get Mexican papers, and so that way, if they're caught, they go back to Mexico, not to Africa, and that's really pretty brilliant because they're halfway here already that way. But to move a child, you're looking at $5,000 to $7,500. It could be higher, $10,000. I've seen that. I think Bruce has seen those numbers. But let's say $5,000 to $7,500, and they move a child up in here, and they give them to a coyote, and the coyote's paid to get the child into America. And if the child does make it all the in free, then the idea is the parents will follow, hence the name anchor babies. The baby gets up here, the child gets up here, they anchor themselves in American culture, and then the rest of the family follows suit.
Well, where do they get $5,000 or $7,000 to bring a child? These people are practically indigent. Are they being paid by the cartels and then they piggyback drugs in on the parents or what?
It's a whole range of people are coming in because they can get in at the southern border. They're coming in from India, Africa. They may have money and they may want to get in.
And we have a lot coming in from the Middle East too, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to go into that one because then we have the whole conversation with terrorists.
And, yeah, but I mean, that is a...
No, but I can spend a whole 2 hours talking about that problem as it relates to national security, and then they're embedded in Texas and training kids in jihadist methods to go into our grammar schools and kill people. We all know about that, but that's a whole different conversation.
See, I don't think people...
keep on the asylum part of it and how people are usurping our system. They've been doing it for 30 years, so they know how to game the system, and then not only game it, they're able to make a large profit off it. It's billions of dollars. So,
and
it's in addition to what they're doing to arms trafficking, and then you're talking about drug trafficking, and then the insidious part, and it's ugly, is the, you know, kids coming across to use them in prostitution with the young girls, and that's MS-13. So you had that. You know, that's a whole area of discussion that we can go into, and Lyle's adept at that, but I like to keep it on asylum and what we're doing now to shore up support in the American public so they know how critical, how important, how serious this national security crisis is, and we need to do something about it yesterday.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about the, be more specific, about the failure of the asylum system now, because I think people, I don't know if people are really tuning into the fact that a lot of these asylum claims are coached. They're working our system against us, basically. And so it would be nice to outline some of that, because I don't think the media is doing a real good job of that, and they're making it look like we're just being mean to people who are here, you know, desperately fleeing violence, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a whole different trend taking place on that. So we'll be right back with our guests, Bruce Moran and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Somebody squeals. It's the lure of easy money. immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in. Let me in. Immigration man, can I cross the line and break? I can stay another day. Let me in. Immigration man, I won't.
Okay. I know you guys are in different cities. You can't see each other and you have no way to communicate. So this is a stupid way to ask this question. I'm just going to put the disclaimer out there. But who wants to talk about the asylum rules? Oh, wait, no one. I actually didn't anticipate that. That's the third option.
asylum rule or the Immigration and Naturalization Act?
I don't know.
Well, currently the rules allow them to stay here once they've set foot on our soil and come back later for a hearing. What like 50% never show up, but
they have to say certain things, and there's a lot of discussion out there, and maybe you guys can clear that up. Maybe it's really not happening, but we keep hearing out here in the cheap seats that people are being coached on the other side of the border. Yeah. Okay, when you get there, tell them this, and this, and they come with a script.
Let me do the 30,000 foot, and then Bruce can fill it all in and make me look smart.
Good plan.
Under, if that's possible, under in the Obama regime, they know for a fact, this has been proven, that they advertised in way down south Mexico, southern Mexico is what I'm saying, Mexico City and even further south, on billboards, how to get into America, phone number to call, stuff like that. Yeah, that's fact.
That's helpful. Not my,
yeah.
You too.
Well, let me speed it. Let me speed it up now and say what's taking place even today are those same billboards have popped back up, as well as coaching centers where people come in and they are instructed, coached as to how to make this migration north, and then what to do to get across the border if they get across the United States or southern border, and then how to claim asylum. They're given sheets of like 8.5 by 11, and on the sheets are instructions that they're to follow specifically. Don't make up anything. Stay right with this sheet. They somewhat memorize it because when they get caught, if they're across the border and into Arizona, Mexico, New Mexico, Texas, etc., they then claim asylum following the rules that they have been taught, coached, however you want to say it. And that creates a real quagmire, and Bruce can go ahead and fill in some of the real specifics, because they were trying to sever this overall policy of acceptance that began, really, Bruce is correct, 30 years ago, but really stepped up under the Obama regime. The philosophy behind this is really what I said in the beginning, to collapse the border. There is not to be a border or national sovereignty. This is still very, very difficult for Americans to grasp. They just can't grasp it. But the fact of the matter is, you've got socialists and Marxists in Congress and in other positions in the border states, be it city mayors, etc., who are absolutely pushing for not only open borders, but for the collapse of our American principles and heritage, etc. And this is so difficult for Americans to grasp. We can't grasp that there'd be people in elected offices, even in American, United States elected offices, that are actually working to thwart the United States system of government. But it's true. And they have incredible power, influence, networking, finances. It's a win-win all the way down the road for them. And they're utilizing that in an extremely sophisticated manner, not to recruit, but once the people have made the decision to get out of Honduras, wherever, they come and they migrate toward southern Mexico, and then they conjugate there, and that's where they begin to be met and coached, et cetera, as they make their way the 2,500 miles north to our southern border. And by the time they get to our southern border, they're pretty adept. They're not that ignorant. And again, and I think Bruce pointed this out really well, this is not like it was 10, 20 years ago where you had the poor migrant lettuce worker who would come up during the lettuce season, pick lettuce in America, American wages, and then go back during the off season. That's not what's taking place. We've got people from Africa, from the Middle East. We've got, that's a whole show, and Bruce is right. That's a show in itself specifically to deal with the terrorists, the known terrorists who are coming across our border specifically to infiltrate the United States, and they're caught in these large caravans. When you have caravans of 10, 15,000, 16,000, which we've reported on accurately, not made up numbers, accurately, restricted reports have worked their way all the way up to the top, as Bruce knows, because we've all discussed this and looked at them. And yeah, when those numbers are accurate, and you're looking at large caravans, and in those caravans are not only gangsters, but and army personnel, but you've got actual known terrorists who are an anathema to the United States. This is quite a crisis. But they're all coached well before they get up here.
Yes, and once they know how to game the system, they're let in through various sundry organizations that work as single cell or work with, you know, sophisticated cartels. Now, the cartels themselves, if we look at the Gulf cartel or the Zetas in particular, they were trained by the Americans, our CIA and our military special forces.
That's
once
correct.
They broke off from their government to form a cartel, now we have commandos that are leading the Zetas. So that's a, see, when I start talking about it, then we get off track of the asylum. But these people in and of themselves are supporting the efforts. The cartels in their areas, they're supporting probably close to a quarter of a million people that are working with the cartels in this functional capacity, directly or indirectly. So if we're looking at operations and how the system is working and who's involved, sometimes people work with it part-time, and they're a smuggler, or part-time as a mule for drugs, or full-time as a lieutenant that gets part-timers to work mules for drugs or smuggling people. It's coming in and out at different sectors, at different parts of Mexico. As you get closer to the border, it's more organized, more efficient, and highly reconned to have all these things happening to catch our border security off guard and bring people in, bring drugs in, bring arms in, things of that nature.
I think Bruce is, again, once again, opening a profound pathway here, because this is not a bunch of, I don't care if I offend people here, but people need to start getting offended. This is not a bunch of people coming up from countries that, quote-unquote, simply failed and they want a better life. That's hogwash. That's part of the socialist Democrat dribble that they push out there to tug on everybody's hearts. There are those people who want a better life. I agree. We've interviewed some of them on the ground in Mexico. Excuse me. But you have to appreciate a preponderant majority of these people intend to infiltrate the United States of America, have no intention of becoming American citizens or even adhere to American law, culture, principles. None. They'll say so to you. And again, I've had the advantage, Bruce knows this, of having intel actually infiltrate some of the cartel, some of the caravans, and actually interview people on various pathways up here. So we get a consistent story when you interview four or five different caravans, and the same story starts to pop up. They have no interest in becoming American citizens. They have every interest to gaming the system and getting any aid they can get, be it medical or unemployment, which is phenomenal. How does somebody from Honduras collect unemployment insurance when here in America, anyway. And so this
and
is
lots
a, this
of food
is a,
stamps and the tongue of Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're right, Bruce. Yeah, he's right.
The whole
food stamps, housing
things,
housing
in place there.
Credits. Oh yeah.
And here so we have people that live in this country who've worked here for years and who are struggling and.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to them that we're just letting people waltz across the border and then handing them everything.
Well, it makes no sense, Aaron, but you know something I have to tell you? I don't see the American people pissed off just yet. I really don't. And until they really, really find out what's going on to them and how they're being sold down the drain, and they really are, and what this is going to cost them.
Well, I think the demonizing of people by calling them all racists and all that sort of thing, I mean, let's face it, if you're going to run a strategy that works, that's the one, because people are kind of cowed into silence. They're not having these conversations.
I don't know any Americans that I grew up with, you know, that are prejudiced, racial, or discriminate. We've gone past that 40 years ago.
Right.
These arguments are so old, but it appears to work for people who tend to not be educated in our American history and grown up being mature and understanding the dynamics that we suffered as a country, making sure that everybody could get a free education, become part of the system, have economic freedom. That's all part of what we do. That's the function of how we look at things. The Wall Street Journal Heritage Foundation comes out with their Index of Economic Freedom and how that is the key essential factor in making people understand that they have individual sovereignty, freedoms, and liberties. What Lyle is saying, and I wholeheartedly agree with him, we're losing those individual liberties, sovereignties, and freedoms because people aren't understanding our culture, they're not taking part, and they're living off the government system. There you have it in a nutshell, where we're looking at close to, I can go 600 to 800 billion dollars. And that, if you look at the cost of the wall, 20 billion, that's like a year that we're talking about. That's a one-time cost. We're going against a, you know, a large figure there. And some people argue it's different in smaller amounts, but you got to take into account people that are in our federal penitentiaries that are illegal aliens, the cost of that, the cost of transporting them to the prisons. You got ICE, the cost to ICE, not being able to do their jobs. You got overtime, you got ICE not being able to look directly into the court system. They have to operate out. How much waste of time and money and efforts just to ICE is going on? That's what
actually,
I'm saying.
Actually, that's something we don't hear a lot about. When we come back, go into that a little bit more, Bruce, and explain that. Because I know you guys deal with this all the time, but out here, we don't always hear about that stuff. We're going to be right back. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
We're the man of free house and deal. Bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps now. He's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid. Cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Don't try to deny a living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Don't try to deny a living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide.
We need alligators or piranhas. Anyway, to go with that song. Bruce, talk to us about...
We were talking about the inability of ICE to perform their job, the inability of ATF to do their job, the inability of the DEA to do their job. So let's start with ICE. ICE was... there's a case that came up just recently in Boston where a judge, and I guess it was her bailiff, were arrested for obstruction of justice because they allowed... the illegal alien out the back door, and they were waiting in the front. This is going on all the time. They're not allowing ICE to do their job.
Why would law enforcement? I mean, I could see it if this was. I get that some of them are appointed by political people, but I don't understand why anyone in law enforcement would want someone who was a criminal alien to be let loose back in their society after they had committed a crime. Why would they do that? Maybe
well,
that's...
you have to ask the judge.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's like a bigger question.
I mean, that's not the rule of law. And that's what they got caught on the rug for. And that's in all the sanctuary cities. They're
right.
Doing that all the time. And states. So you have a whole slew of things. Now you have our great DEA and ATF agents. Some of them are my friends, you know. And they're out there doing their job. But what's holding them up are people who are doing that in the court system, or they can't enforce the law, or people are just outright corrupt. They're working with the cartels. So they have to face a lot of impediments before they can actually do their job. Because if somebody's corrupt, and say there's a border security agent corrupt, or a town mayor that's corrupt on the border, on the U.S. side and on the Mexico side, and they're working together, you're going to have to, you know, find out how that's going down, and you allocate resources. Now, what we need, and this is what Lyle and I and Chuck have been talking about, is adding more border security people on the border. So if you do have criminal types in border security itself, our law enforcement, they will not be able to do the same kind of criminal activity because they're going to have everybody looking over their shoulder. Just by a matter of numbers, that illegal activity stops and they'll get turned in. So, and this happens also in the larger communities. So these border towns in Calamex where, you know, they got tunnels coming through and a whole series of human smuggling, drug smuggling, arms trafficking. So we know these kind of activities. So we're talking about ATF. ATF can do a better job if they're allowed to do their job and enforce what they need to do, given the restraints that are placed on them when they're out in the field. Now, they're tough characters. You know, I was recruited by them like when I was 30 years old. So I was doing other things. But they're just amazingly American patriots who are looking at people violating the law for arms trafficking. That's also tobacco, you know, and other things. But, you know, that's what we know them for when we're talking about border security. So,
in real life,
do you have any other questions regarding our inability to enforce the law through our different departments and agencies, not having enough personnel on the borders, not giving the personnel the ability to do their jobs in the court system itself? I mean, that's a whole area that's been usurped, undermined, and, you know, not following the basic constitutional law, our rule of law.
Well, help me out. Things have gotten so screwed up, we don't even know what's supposed to be happening. So in real life, I mean, back
in real life, none of this would happen.
Right. But like back in the days before we had sanctuary cities and all that, how did it really work? Somebody went to court, they were an illegal, they committed a crime. I don't know why they were let go. Maybe they didn't have enough evidence, or maybe they made a plea deal, or maybe something like that. So the person, the illegal alien, was going to walk out of court.
Running billion-dollar operations, so anybody caught as a cartel member has a great lawyer backing them up.
Sure. So then, in the olden days, when they left court,
I mean, and then there might be a person in that area that's law enforcement that's on the take. So you get all these countervailing situations where the cartels are working with the local street gangs. And street gangs can put pressure on families.
Sure, but I mean, take all that out for a second. In real life, without those types of impediments,
unreal life, okay.
And we weren't and there wasn't a sanctuary city idea right before that existed. So this person would leave the courthouse for whatever reason, right? Whether we agree with it or not, they would leave the courthouse. The ICE guys used to. I'm guessing have the ability to pick them up and deport them? Is that what used to happen?
Yeah, or go to jail. I mean, it depends on what, you know. They
right, but
to,
they weren't turned back into society. They were either deported or put in jail.
That's the point.
Okay.
I think Lyle can bear a force on that point, too. We follow the rule of law, and if they committed a crime, they have to go to jail and to make sure that they're serving their time for the crimes they are committed.
All right, we're gonna hit a hard break in a couple of minutes, but Lyle, why don't you take us to that point?
Well, no, a simple reason or a simple answer to your penetrating question, Aaron, is that we didn't have the numbers back then that we're having now.
Oh,
500,000 illegals in what, 3 months? January, February, March, April, okay, 4 months. 500,000? Well, we didn't used to see those types of numbers for a whole year, much less 4 months. And those are the only ones that have been caught and or have been interdicted in some way. And I might mind to share with you that all across the border on the southern side, there are communities being established from Tijuana down to McAllen, Texas, all over across, much like the Gaza in Israel, where you've got combatants ready to cross the desert into Israel. Well, you've got the same thing here, developing. You've got camps of large numbers just touching the border, ready to come across whenever they can have that opportunity. We haven't had that before. We haven't had the inundation of numbers that we're experiencing now. So that also clogs up the system. And then what Bruce said also is absolutely correct. If you've got a political system that with politically corrupt judges and others, then you're sunk.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I wanted to also add, it's not 1960s or 70s. It's a cartel who has grown in stature and power and influence in our country. And they have billions of dollars at their disposal.
That's exactly
can pay
right.
off, you know, law enforcement. It's not, you know, $400,000 or $500,000. I don't even bat an eye, you know. So
I know you're taking a hard break, but real quickly, what Bruce is saying there, we have cartels in America that are communicating and set up a network for the cartels helping the illegals come across. It is my and Bruce has read my classified reports that went up to the White House, etc. So Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm very clear in saying that it was our belief system based on overflights, based on interviews, based on other evidence that they were reinforcing the cartels already in America here, as well as other subversive groups with new soldiers, if you'll allow me that terminology. So that's part of the rub of getting these people across the border and into the United States is the cartels, the MS-13s, and the other types of domestic terrorists are looking to
establish a base of operations.
What was it, Bruce?
Establish a base of operations.
Yes, to establish a base of operations, but also to implement more personnel on the ground here in America. So a lot of these people coming across, they have no intention of becoming good Americans. They are part of a subversive organization, subversive network, a domestic terrorist network that intends to attack the United States.
And with enough women and children for cover, you know, they can slide
that's
in.
That's all window dressing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. We've got the next hour with Bruce Moran and Dr. Lyle Rapacki here listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Welcome to We the People Radio. This is our second hour. We're here on May 5th, 2019, and the original airing. Who knows when we'll play it again for you. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local John Deere tractor dealer in Shasta Lake City. They're located just south of Phil's Propeller up on Twin View Boulevard, 3119 Twin View Boulevard. And their phone number is 226-9226. Give them a call if you need a tractor, need service, need parts, anything John Deere, they can help you with that. And you can also get them on the web at ReddingTractors.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
All right. You can find everything about the show, information on sponsorship, archives going back like 10 years. You can find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. And we have all the information about our guests, and we'll have the commercial-free archive of the program up here this afternoon. Always useful if you send it. I hate to promote sending it through Facebook. They have been such bad players of late. I don't know. I vacillate. Kill the Facebook account. Keep it. Kill it. Keep it. I don't know. I'm just not using it. That's where I've landed. I just let it sit there.
Well, they're using you though.
I know. Yeah. I give them no information, so actually I'm not really all that useful, and I don't take pictures of my food, so yeah. I'm depriving them of that.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's what
I don't know what you eat. That's
so
great.
People are posting all the time. So you can shoot the program around to your friends and family through email if you'd like. Just cut the link and send it to them. We'd be happy to have their listenership, and we'd be happy to smarten them up on some of these issues. Our email addresses and phone numbers are right on the website, and you can send us ideas. And if you don't like the show, you know, pretty much just don't listen.
Yeah.
That's how we solve that problem.
It's kind of like term limits.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't vote for them if you don't like them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Problem solved. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So our guests today come from two different places. We've got one in Chicago. We've got Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technology. He is their national security advisor. So he does a lot of interaction with, well, I guess they both do, actually, with the White House and all information going back and forth on these various issues. Today we're talking about border security and the asylum rules and all of that. Our other guest comes from Sentinel Intelligence Services. That is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He is in Texas and was in Arizona for such a long time. I have such a hard time remembering that he's in Texas. That kind of screws everything up. But we've got a ton of information posted for you and a lot of releases from the White House that we're obviously not going to read to you in the program, but you may want to go and read them. Also, I didn't mention this in the first hour. Let me scroll down. Human smuggling and associated revenues. What we can know about the routes from Central America to the United States. There's a really good PDF document on the webpage for today about all of that and giving you a tremendous amount of detail. So I know most of the time when you listen to programs, it's, you know, people's opinions and that sort of thing. We try really hard to make sure that anything that gets shared, you have the ability to go research and verify, because it's important. We should all be dealing in facts. We just aren't.
Yeah, so don't take somebody else's word on it. Go out and do some homework.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bruce and Lyle, I don't know where we want to take this hour. Are we done with this?
Maybe,
forget about you guys, Bill.
We should talk about what the president's doing of late to fix this amnesty situation. I know there's quite a bit of stuff on the site
about
that.
Not amnesty. What do you call it? Asylum.
Asylum, excuse me.
The other A word.
Yeah, don't mishear me. asylum.
Yeah, you start throwing around amnesty and everybody's head explodes and they can't listen anymore.
Yeah, asylum. So maybe we could talk about that, what the president intends to do and what he has done to help curb this problem.
He's a memorandum that was sent to us, and it's posted on the website, and this is what he's going to do. It's pretty straightforward. It's the Department of Homeland Security, and here's his action plan, and this is what needs to be done. As I was expressing and Lyle was expressing to you astutely at different points about these various sundry things, the president has always been first and foremost on protecting the border. And as we're saying, you know, the wall was a misrepresentation of all that needed to be done. And that's what the media runs with. It's this idea of asylum, this idea of comprehensive border security, this idea of having more border patrol personnel, this idea of having more judges on the border. That's what President Trump is doing. He's also going to have more shelters to hold people. They're doing DNA testing to determine how to differentiate a real family from people who are just bringing kids across. And then there's kids coming across that are being used for sex trafficking along with the younger girls, MS-13. This, we go into a whole slew of things. But President Trump knows all this. He's briefed on it extensively. And now he's able to act on the Immigration and Naturalization Act. And this is the memorandum that was sent to us directly from the White House. And I'll have Lyle at his...
Before he does that, I was going to... There is one part that's posted, but you know, since we're on radio and people are listening rather than reading, possibly, I just wanted to put this one part out there because there is always a lot of misinformation that goes out through the media that the president can't do these things and he's just doing it because he's a bigot and a hater, blah, blah, blah. But as you guys have given us to post, President Trump will use the authority granted to him by the Immigration and Nationality Act to manage and protect the integrity of our immigration system and natural sovereignty. Here's one piece. Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act states plainly, and this is quoted from that, whenever the president finds the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such a period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate.
So he's
really broad.
And he has the right. I mean, they're all saying, oh, he can't do that. He's a dictator. No, he has the right to do that.
That doesn't make him a dictator.
That
was there before he became president.
Right.
So it goes on. There are other really good pieces that you have provided for us here. So I hope people will go to wethepeopleradio.us, go on to the May 5th, 2019 program, and take a look at those things that are posted, because I think that's helpful to counteract some of the misinformation that we're given. So, sorry, Lyle, go ahead.
No. This is a great conversation. I hope your people will go on your site. I believe Bruce sent you these memorandum. They're not classified. They're open source. Bruce, I haven't read them. I don't know what you said. Is it the information from the press secretary on the budget breakdown?
No, it's the ability of the president to act. Chuck and I had worked on this also, as you know. And we had our information that preceded it and then follows from Paul Teller. Of course, knows what's going on at the border. He's the legislative director for President Trump. So we've been in communication for at least 12 years. He was the chief of staff for Ted Cruz. So if you understand that, if he's the chief of staff for Ted Cruz, he definitely knows what was going on the border at that time.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz knows what's definitely going on at the border. So does Cornyn. You know, and we have all these specially placed legislators and elected officials that know how to deal with it. But yet, pushback is coming from all different sorts of directions that are countervailing forces that keep us from instituting a proper and fitting border security program. And that's what President Trump's been trying to do.
And Lyle,
I mean, that was part of his platform to get elected to office. And now we're coming around to it. It's close to 3 years now. That's inconceivable. You know, it's
It is pretty ridiculous. Just to clarify, too, if you were asking about a budget item, there is one a notice from the Office of the Press Secretary entitled President Donald J. Trump is calling on Congress to provide more resources to respond to the humanitarian crisis at the border. That involves a lot of cost. Very nicely detailed.
Well, I'm glad you have that, and your readers will have access to that. Again, that's not classified. But if they take the time just to skim through that, that also brings into view some of the other dimensions, the problems of this. The president is having to request immediate funding besides the wall to deal with health care matters, to deal with beds, to deal with centers. I believe it's in there. It'll be the centers by which they can house these people until they can get them processed and sent back or whatever they're going to do with them. There is a whole mess of financial obligations connected to securing the border, and that's something that the American people also just don't realize. And once you begin to go down that White House document and look at the monies that the president is requesting just to handle operations, I mean, this is just day-to-day operations to address this border issue. It's not to stop it. It's just to address it.
And I know this seems as Bruce so eloquently put, inconceivable. But we have to take another quick break. This celebration of capitalism just keeps interfering with our dissemination of information. But when we come back, let's tell people some of the things that are in that memo. I hate to keep alluding to something that we actually aren't. It's secret information. Stop your car. Run to your computer. So we'll get into some of the cost, because the costs are very high, and that's just to run operations. I think that's important for people to know. So you're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We will be back with Bruce and Dr. Lyle Rapacki in a couple of minutes.
No smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. We said just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white, and blue.
We're back with numbers for you.
Well, before we hit the numbers, one thing I'd like to point out that I can't believe wasn't a rule already was in this new proclamation is when people or when any alien who illegally enters our country will be ineligible for asylum. So these people that are jumping the border, sneaking in, then claiming asylum, that won't work anymore. You're going to have to come in through legal means in order to even be eligible.
Well, that, of course, makes us terrible haters.
I know, that makes us haters. But do you think that in itself will slow the tide of people jumping the border?
Are we actually following that?
Well, that's like an eight-part answer, because we have the human smuggling going on, and they bypass it through that, and then they get their food stamps and they get transported up to Los Angeles or Sacramento.
But they can't get asylum.
Are they allowing them to apply for asylum if they come here?
They sneak in so they don't have to go through the system.
I forgot about them. Yeah, them.
That's a larger portion that's coming in that way.
Right.
Those are the ones who can't afford to pay, for the all-inclusive package to come into the United States.
So what about the
all-inclusive packages for smuggling?
So what about the folks that they, snatch out of the bushes, and then are they allowed to say, no, wait, I want asylum?
But there's only...
That's a small percentage?
Yeah, it's out of 100, it's like 12.
Oh, so it's a great rule, it just isn't going to help us much.
Well, here's my point again, and I want to be perfectly clear on this, because it's always misinterpreted, and it's always, if we're, all these people are coming across, and only, say, 12 out of 100, all these people, other people have to be processed. It takes time and energy to process them all.
Right.
And what are our Border Patrol and our Immigration Naturalization people doing? I mean, it's a lot of time if they're not coming through a legal port of entry. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's why...
That's what I'm talking about. ICE, then you got ATF, then you got DEA. That's law enforcement. And then you got Health and Human Services, and then the judges. The president's going to put more judges on the board, too, to help, move this through and get claims processed and things of that sort. That's a whole another area. But to answer your first question, there's going to be $3.3 billion appropriated. That's the request at Health and Human Services. That goes for food, shelter, lodging, transportation for the people that are there.
doesn't mean they're all going to get through. It just means to house them, to feed them. And that's very compassionate. That's America.
And that includes funding for 23,600 beds for unaccompanied alien children.
That is unbelievable compassion.
That is a crazy number, actually.
One of the things.
That including what we already have there, where there's centers where they can go to and
right.
they can, you know, play ping pong and pool and other things like that. I mean, they're not just talking about this. Is just because this initial what Lyle was talking about so critical. What Lyle was saying is that we haven't seen these numbers ever, and now we're burdened, and now we're acting to even help it even more. So we got $2.8 billion going for that, you know, and that.
Just sticking
there's
with that.
And there's another, there's an allocation some more money, $250 million for additional beds.
Don't give up.
3,500 beds for a processing center. So, I mean, you have this big burden, and how do you think the Border Patrol people feel? I mean, they got to protect themselves and worry about cartels and arms smuggling and drug smuggling. Then they got to watch out for these people. Some of them are mixed in with them.
Right.
I mean, they're really pressed to do a good job, and they are. They perform outstanding work, our Border Patrol. They're great.
Well,
at
this point,
we need more.
Based
put
on
5,000 there, so or bring the military down
moment.
There or National Guard and support them.
This was the Kentucky Derby. My money's on Bruce.
So let's make sure it's solid, 24/7 controlled and operated. Put those technologies down there,
yeah,
upgraded. You know, the thermal, and we know who's coming in. They can differentiate between animal, you know, child and adult. We know who's out there, you know. And then we can also work on the seismic devices that, you know, if they're running, walking, where they're coming from. You know, if a drone's coming across, cartels are using drones. And Lyle knows this. He and I were September of last year talking about that. And we're really concerned about it.
Absolutely.
Not only are they transporting drugs in drones, you can get like 25 pounds of fentanyl in a drone now. You can, you know, send arms through there too. And I'm not talking about, you know, weapons that you can
yeah,
use.
Yeah, it takes two weeks to get a birthday card to another part of the state. all right,
so,
quick.
And what I'm really concerned about, I'll say one more thing, I'll take over. What I'm really concerned about is that the United States has grown in stature and power. We have a lot of people now, and we're all from different parts of the country, but we have to be very concerned about what's happening on the border. And most people don't know if you're in, you know, let me talk about Illinois or Nebraska, upper part of the United States, it's two-thirds of our country, don't have to deal with it. If they had to deal with it and understand the seriousness of this matter, it's the humanitarian crisis we're addressing in this particular President Trump executive order memorandum to the Department of Homeland Security. But it goes way beyond that. And that's what Lyle and I are trying to convey. And I'll turn the floor over to the senator from Texas.
Lyle, you're on.
Lyle, it's all you, man.
I was taking a nap. A couple of things. One, Bruce is correct that the upper part of the United States really isn't attuned, but they're becoming so because they are the illegals are working their way throughout the United States. Law enforcement in Vermont and Maine, think about that for a second, are now having to deal with illegal issues, Islamic issues, in small communities in Vermont and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They've never had to deal with stuff like that, and they're now having to deal with it. And not only dealing with those subcultures, now I said it the right way, in my opinion, but also the illegality of them being in the United States and in Vermont and Maine. So this is a whole new dilemma for them. In regards to the children, one of the things that the president is catching up on, and we're playing catch-up here, and he's doing a great job, but it's catch-up. It is known that the children would come up, they would be caught, and then they would be, quote-unquote, sent back to their parents, which means the parent is in Mexico, Honduras, wherever. The child would then be sent back only to reappear a couple of weeks later with a new set of parents or whomever. The whole idea here is using children to bring up people under the auspices, well, this is my parent or this is my uncle, whatever. So what the president has done just in the last couple of weeks, and Bruce alluded to it in the last hour, is the beginning of DNA testing. So you have a child and an adult. They're being tested to see if they're related. If not, then there's different actions that will be taken. But that's a step in the right direction. Is it late? Yes, it's late. This has been going on for years, but he is doing the best he can to catch up to a runaway train. The beds just for these unaccompanied children, 23,600. That should tell you something. The dollar amounts here, the billions of dollars just to support the operations. We're not talking about the wall. We're talking about day-to-day operations. And once the American people really begin to get a handle on what this is costing, it is astronomical. Maybe they'll get upset and maybe they'll start making, quote unquote, some demands. And I use that word very carefully, judiciously and hesitantly, because I don't think people should be demanding. I think they should be making requests, being assertive. But I think we've come to a point where our nation is under assault. We've got people in Congress who despise the United States of America. To me, that is just, it's hard to still get my hands wrapped around. But they despise us, and yet they're serving in the highest offices in Congress and Senate.
And people have elected them and put them there, and some of those people have been there more than one term.
Absolutely.
So let's just make sense of that.
So I think if programs like yours and if programs all across this nation, be it a written platform or radio platform or alternative YouTube or whatever is out there, if they could start putting out these facts and getting the people to really grasp what's taking place, that might make a difference, because we're really under an assault that shows no ending.
That's a really great point. I mean, these are tax dollars, folks. I mean, you complain about how much you pay in taxes,
yes,
and we're talking about billions of dollars being spent just to maintain what's here now.
Well, because the request here is $4.5 billion to address the immediate humanitarian crisis on the southern border.
Yes.
This isn't building a wall. This isn't doing those things.
Right.
So $2.8 billion going to increase health and human services capacity for unaccompanied alien children. Let me finish because we keep cutting it up. Department of Homeland Security will get $273 million to stand up, operate, and secure processing centers on the border, increasing their capacity by 3,500 beds. $1.1 billion going to border operations to combat human smuggling and human trafficking. $178 million used to fund mission support, including $10 million to improve migrant processing by upgrading information technology systems. None of that $4.5 billion that has been requested is building a wall. It's
None
all
it.
Just dealing with the influx
right.
of humanity
and that's,
across
that's
the border.
And that's to handle what's here. 500,000, and there's going to be another 500,000 before the end of the year.
Exactly. Okay, so that's all on the site, and you can go check that out, but we've got to take a really fast break, and we'll be right back to hear what Bruce was telling us in the background that we're sorry we just faded out. So all of that can be found at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Who's to say I can't do everything? Well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing it.
And yes, it is upside down.
It is.
So, I should have said something at the very beginning, but you know, a lot of times when we have two people on the phone at the same time, they can't hear each other and they can't hear us, which is You probably figured that out by now, though. I think everyone probably already knows this, and I'm overstating the obvious, but I thought I should put that out there.
That, I can hear it loud today.
That sometimes the ability for us to thread our discussions amongst ourselves is difficult. So, Lyle, you were trying to tell us something. Did you already do that, or...
I think I did.
Speak now or forever hold your peace, man.
Let me.
We can talk forever about these topics.
Screwed yourself, Lyle.
I can hear Lyle speaking, by the way.
Oh, you can?
Okay. Well, the funding apparatus that you were sent, that Bruce sent you from the White House.
Oh yeah.
What's also critical about that is in June, the Department of Health Services and a number of these others, Department of Homeland Security, will run out of monies. And if they do, and they don't get this supplemental help just to deal with day-to-day operations, they have to cease doing the day-to-day operations. What will that do? We have a crisis here that really nobody wants to talk about, and they still aren't. The president is doing what he can, but what I would like to see, and maybe it will happen, is he does a national address from the Oval outlining in almost seventh grade language. I don't mean that to be funny, but really simple
terms.
No,
true. I think you're right.
What's really going on? I think if the people of the United States really understood, we are under attack. This is not just about people coming up here because they want a better life.
We need it in fourth grade language. How's he going to do that if he does seventh grade?
That's true. That's a good point.
Well, what you're saying about shutting down operations, that really can't even be an option. I mean, when you have tens of thousands of people you're taking care of, you can't just walk in and say, "Up, we're out of money, folks. Open the doors, let them go." I mean, that's not even an option.
Bill, the Democrat Congress holds the purse strings.
Yeah.
And their point of view is, why are we having to take care of them at the border? Just let them in.
Right.
Yeah.
They see all this as silly. And see, the other part that's detailed on here that I think, honestly, if more people could read this May 1st memo, I think this would make sense to them, because the segment under urgent crisis at the border, we're experiencing an overwhelming surge of migrants flooding our border, many of whom are minors and families who require extensive care. And kind of down in the information there, it says that this shift in demographics has stressed a system that was mainly designed for single adults. See, that's a huge change, and that absolutely blows the budget up on this whole deal.
Well, you figure these kids have made this arduous trek across the desert to come across the border. They're not in good health, and then you put them in some kind of a detention center. Medically speaking, you've got to spend a ton of money taking care of them before you can even process them. I mean, you're spending money on medical care.
And I realize this is a tiny rabbit trail, but I just am struck by these reports that, you know, measles has broken out and all these other crazy childhood diseases. And the only people they can talk about are those people who didn't vaccinate their children. I'm like, oh, couldn't be the hundreds of thousands of migrants that come from countries that don't have vaccinations. Couldn't be them, could it?
No.
Well, as you know, I submitted to the Trump administration 2 years ago a restricted briefing, which has since become unrestricted, dealing with the pending health crisis at the border. Dr. Carson received it, so did senior White House people, because it talked about, and this was two and a half years ago, it talked about at that time, and you all since got a copy of it, because I think I sent it at one of the radio shows we did a couple of months back.
Right.
So that very report, which you still put up on your website, people can have, it's not restricted any longer. The problems outlined in that report are extremely real, and they are happening right now. What hasn't been released, what hasn't really been publicized, are the beginnings of skin diseases, fungal infections, bacterial infections, intestinal infections, that that American medicine really doesn't know how to address, and this is very concerning, very alarming.
And that's all being released into the public.
That's correct. And when you take the numbers that are just staggering as they work their way into Tijuana or other places just contingent with the border, and they begin to conjugate there, when you're talking 10,000, 7,000 in an area.
And people in Tijuana were protesting because they were coming down with diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
That's correct.
They were protesting in the streets that they don't want them to stay in Tijuana. There's a larger concern in health, which Lyle's talking about. I remember, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe Lyle can allude to that, but it's we had whooping cough in the United States. It struck all of Chicago, and it was all over the United States. And how does that happen? I mean, how does whooping cough exist when it was basically eradicated before? Those are the kind of things. And imagine the downtime for parents taking their kids out of school, the schools themselves closing down, the teachers. That's could be billions and billions of dollars.
Well, then you also
for a whooping cough, not considering measles or any other thing that's, you know, how we're trying to have proper and fitting safety and security concerns for our health of our country. That's a national security problem also.
Well, you have all the border patrol people, thousands of people that work for our government trying to control this situation, all being exposed to those.
Yeah, they all go home.
They all go home. They
go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean,
we were helping.
Can't forget about them
with the kind of gels and gloves, and they were really concerned themselves. You don't hear about that in the news.
Nope.
I mean, there's certain kinds of gloves you have to use now and gels you put on to clean yourself up before you go home to your families.
Yeah, that's sad.
Crazy.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, dear. Don't kiss me now. I'll be right back.
Yeah, don't touch me. But, you know, people who work in hospitals, regular hospitals, I've known, nurses and things, and they don't wear their shoes from work in their house. You know, I mean, that's pretty common that they have work shoes.
Yeah, but they're suited up. I mean, they have medical gear on, they have gloves on, they have,
but they know that they're in a super high germ environment, and so they don't just come home and bring all that. If they don't wear, some kind of covering of their clothes, if they're just walking
around.
But
you don't see the Border Patrol people wearing hazmat suits when they're taking care of
them.
No,
they really need them.
They do. It's... I don't know what the answer is.
Hey, so what's the likelihood they're going to get this money that they've requested, just out of curiosity, now that we've identified they need it?
Well, they're talking about it the next 2 weeks, so we'll see how the allocations are going. They're also looking at the infrastructure program that was up before the Mueller case came into vogue to kill the infrastructure positive vibe on it. That was at the beginning of the week. Then the Mueller hearing
circus
was on Wednesday, and then the one that didn't happen was on Thursday. So
all that comes
all
first.
These important budgetary concerns that need to be addressed. Each one of them is critical for national security interest. And one thing I wanted to also say is to our friends in Europe and Ukraine and Africa, hello, and you're also addressing these same problems. We have that problem in Libya where people are trying to come across to Europe. We have the problems with the refugees that came from Syria and Iraq. There was the most since World War II, and they're dealing with that the same way we're dealing with it. So however your countries are dealing, you got to be very active with your councilmen, your elected officials, and make sure that you're protecting your own citizens. Your own citizens first, because if the people aren't assimilating and they're living in conclaves, that breeds that kind of germs we're talking about here, those diseases, as well as, how they want to have no-go zones. So, fortunately, we don't have any no-go zones in the United States. There are places, that are dangerous, but, on the Arizona border there, but there are areas that we need to address ourselves, but in terms of France and countries like Germany, where Merkel is having problems, and Brexit's, you know, their issues are the same as ours. We're worried about our individual citizens. We're worried about our individual sovereignty, our individual rights, freedoms.
And just so people kind of know what that is, if that's an unfamiliar term for you, a no-go zone means that you're not, you literally are not allowed to go there.
Yeah, it's your country, but you can't go there because we've given it away.
We covered this literally years ago in London. The Islamic population there had areas that they wouldn't allow the police, they wouldn't allow the citizenry. People were literally not allowed to go in those areas, otherwise they would be victimized and...
They could be, and they're also using their Sharia law to run it.
Lots of bad things happened.
British common law.
But they wouldn't let the citizens go there. They wouldn't let the police go there. They had carved themselves out their own their own area, and they were running their own laws. It's like, I don't know
why. That's not the kind of assimilation we were thinking about.
I don't know why nobody was alarmed about that, but it's gotten worse from there, and Paris is the same problem. So really quick break, our last break, and we'll come back with our guests, Bruce Moran and Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. I think President Trump should play that at his rallies. The first time I heard that, I hadn't heard that song in a long time, and I came across that clip, and I was like, oh, it's like a perfect theme song for this administration. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, problems they throw at them. They just keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward.
I mean, honestly, lesser people would just have been reduced to quivering masses of jello by now.
Yeah, I want to thank President Trump for sticking this out. Following through on the programs he promised. He's carrying forth on his promises. Foreign policy, domestic policy, and the economy's booming. As you know, there's 3.2% growth, and more jobs are created across the board. We are moving economically in our country, and I think that recovery, those insights from a person who's worked in the business and now, you know, instituting certain kinds of programs in the government with trade policies and not saying yes to everybody all the time and letting them have their way with our NATO. Now they're paying their fair share, you know, and things of that sort. Working with Korea, with President Kim, and making sure we're heading on a denuclearization process. We're moving. That's the first time President Kim had even offered to talk to somebody. So now we have historical making landmark decisions by President Trump. Let's take care of our border, protect our own citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's brought in 100 judges. They just hit the 100 mark. So that is something that has gotten... I think I'd be safe to say, like, zero press.
Zero press.
You have to go kind of look for that. But they are doing great things for the judiciary, regardless of all the rest of this, you know, circus act that's going on. But Bill and I were talking on the break, and I guess it doesn't really require commentary because I think we're all on the same page. But it should be said that really our, you know, our hearts go out to these folks that have to work on the border. You know, between the diseases and the crime and the danger and the lack of funding and all the issues that go on and the fact that they're demonized pretty much nonstop in the media, these guys have, honestly, probably the most thankless job out there.
Very thankless.
And high risk in lots of areas.
Yeah, I mean, risk to themselves, their families, their communities.
Anyway, we think
at some point you got to wonder, is it worth it?
Is it worth it? Yeah. At what point? I mean, it's, gee, Bruce, you know, you're in Chicago. I mean, how do they get new policemen to go there? Every time I hear a story about your town, I always wonder, huh? Who says, gosh, I think I want to grow up and be a policeman in Chicago. God love them that somebody still wants to do the job.
It's always look both ways before shooting, you know.
Spoken as a true native. It's true, though. So, you know, I mean, we need to give credit to the folks out there who actually do these things and are willing.
I talk to them all the time, and I give them praise on the streets. I say, thank you for your service every time I see them.
No kidding.
Yeah, I always do. I mean, I don't. If they're coming in and checking on something at a 7-Eleven, or they're getting something to eat, I'm always saying something to them because it's a thankless job. We need more enforcement. We need more forensics. We need more people to help support the police. We need every citizen to step up, too, to help the police. You can't be living in your residence and thinking everybody's going to do things for you. You have to step up yourself.
Right.
Take control of your own environment.
Well, same, too, with our border mess. I mean, it's time for the people who live in areas that are not on the border to be familiar. Where does your representative, state representatives, congressional representatives, where are they on this issue? What are they supporting? What kind of, you know, problem are they causing?
Local representation is always where it starts.
And are they part of the solution or not?
Yeah, you've got to get people in there that are supporting the agencies.
The issue, we're all together as one, but people aren't thinking that way anymore.
No.
It's the urbanization, it's the rural areas, everybody's living a little differently, everybody has a different idealistic view of how things are.
Well, when the no-go zone comes to your town, I do believe the tribalism will fade away and people start...
I don't know that... I always thought that, you know, people won't really act until it affects them, but you look at San Francisco. I mean, it's affecting those
Los
people
Angeles.
In a big, big way, and they're still electing these people to make their city a free zone for illegals and drugs and homeless and... You know,
I mean, I had a professor tell me he was walking down the street of San Francisco. I don't know if I told you guys this or not. This was like a month and a half ago, I guess. And he's just walking down the street, broad daylight, and had two, like, whacked out drug users chasing him with hypodermic needles trying to stab him. He was just walking.
Yeah.
You know, he's there on a project for the Israeli consulate. He goes, I'm counting the minutes till I get to get out of here. In June, he goes, this place is totally crazy.
Welcome to America.
So,
Let's let Lyle, we're getting towards the end. Let's let Lyle have some thoughts on this.
You go, Lyle.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what I'd like to suggest to Bill and you, Aaron? Maybe you could post questions or put it in such a way that your readers could ask questions. What would they like to know about the border? And we could do a future show answering those questions.
That's a fun idea.
Yeah, just I don't care where they're coming from, but let them post their questions to you or send them to you, and then send them to Bruce or me so we can at least prepare and give them the right answers. And then let's all work off the same script.
Yeah.
You all have the questions. We have the questions and the answers. And let's do it that way so the people can begin to ask their questions, no matter how elementary or how simple they may. Well, that's the same thing. How elementary or uninformed they may be. Because, see, most Americans, really, it's not hitting them yet.
Right.
The dollar amounts, the crime, the health matters, all the things we've been discussing have not really come to their front door. And when it does, it's almost too late.
And because it's a terrible undercurrent that's going on that's saying, oh, you've probably heard this, but that's a lie. You probably heard this, oh, that's a lie. So people don't know.
Have you guys write out something and get it out everywhere you can, emails and whatever, and get the questions into you, and then let's get together again and let's answer their questions.
Yeah, that'd be fun, like a border town hall.
That's correct.
I like it. I like it. I think that's a great idea.
Maybe $2 next time on the show.
$1.96. And no Starbucks card, because we hate them.
If he gets a raise, then he gets cut on the buffet, though. You know that.
It's true. True. Well, I think that, you know, I don't think that there's a quick fix for this, obviously. So this isn't one of those things that, well, it's a good thing we talked about it. Now we can put it in the, put it up on the shelf. And I'm kind of guessing I know the answer, but with 20, who the heck knows how many people are running for president on the Democratic side, but 20 some odd people all running, and they're obviously all opposing the president who ran on border security. My guess is that none of those people are coming out to say that we need to secure the border. Is that pretty safe guess?
We'll see what some of the more moderates will start positioning themselves. You know, we have a couple of moderates that are just entering the picture. So I don't know. It's still young.
Sleepy Joe could screw up and say something. Actually, he might accidentally support border security.
I don't mention names because I'm, you know, I'm working on national security. I hope they do the right thing.
Well, we didn't really. We just said Sleepy Joe. That could be almost anybody named Joe. Sleepy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like to thank people at the Heritage Foundation who we work with. Hudson, Cato. Our reports from the RAND to Homeland Security. Thank Lyle for always being on top of the intelligence, us working together, and Chuck and other people who I can't mention. They're part of our team, and we're always working to help support our country. God bless you all. God bless you for your fine work.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys getting all this information to us, because, honestly, it's out there. But it isn't easy.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And Bruce, you're absolutely right. There are tons of people and tons of resources out there working on this issue, but we've got to get some funding, and we've got to get some forward movement on it. Without the money to do it, it's unfortunately a lot of
talk. It's
going to
be a total loss.
Yeah.
So our guests today have been Bruce Moran. He is with Security Solutions Technologies. And Lyle Rapacki, Dr. Lyle Rapacki from Sentinel Intelligence Services there in Texas. And we've got all of the information about our guests and all of the different shows we've done with them, too, by lots of different topics we've discussed with both these guys. You can find that all at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We hope you have a great rest of your day. And we'll be back with you next week.
Thanks
a bunch,
guys. You bet.
Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Another promise, another scene, a package like to keep us trapped in greed. A green belt wrapped around our minds, an endless red.